Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi, everyone. Judge Andrew Napolitano here for Judging Freedom. Today is Thursday, April 4th, 2024. Max Blumenthal joins us. Max, it's a pleasure, my friend. A lot has happened since last we spoke, but the very dominant and hot issue now, as I see it, is the Israeli murder of 7 food service workers in Gaza. I'm sure you have a take on this. Is there any news about it? I mean, the facts are largely not disputed, but how do you see it?
Well, first of all, apologies for not being in studio. I kind of got caught out there. I wound up at a liberal gentrifier cafe in Washington, D.C. So just so everyone knows, my normal background does not have aromatherapy behind me and other such accoutrements.
Do the characters that are surrounding you have any idea what show you're on and what you're about to say?
Well, I hope no AIPAC lobbyists come over here because I'm right off Capitol Hill.
All right. Well, you have a lot to say about AIPAC.
Yeah. So, well, AIPAC is front and center here in this discussion. It's why Joe Biden has no red lines on Gaza. I mean, look at what just happened. A triple tap targeted drone strike on a World Central Kitchen convoy. They got out of the first car, the drone hit them again. They got out of the second car, the drone hit the second car, and then it hit the third car and killed them all. And do you know who they killed? They killed someone named Jacob Flickinger, who is a US military veteran who is delivering aid to starving people in Gaza. And who is his boss? His boss, Jose Andres, is close friends with Tony Blinken. He has total access to the Biden administration. He gets to hang out in the ante room when Biden delivers his State of the Union address. He is an official State Department culinary ambassador. Mm. And I went, they actually in Spain, they call him the unofficial Spanish ambassador to the US. And I went to the State Department briefing yesterday with, led by Matthew Miller, who the great Caitlin Johnstone has called Smirkula. And he...
It's funny she should call him that. A lot of people that are critical of him that watch the show when we play clips of him and write in call him Dracula.
Well, Smirkula is better. He's constantly smirking and treating the press with condescension. And everyone in that room was up in arms about what had happened here. But just consider how Jose Andres is being treated after all he's done for the Biden administration. He has called for an independent investigation. He's called for a ceasefire, as far as I know. And what did Matthew Miller get up and say as the official position of Tony Blinken, Jose Andres' pal? No, we won't have an independent investigation. We're going to have an Israeli investigation. The killers will investigate themselves. Jose Andres has been left completely on his own because Biden answers to AIPAC and Israel and not even his own closest political allies. Back in January, when 3 U.S. service members were killed at a secret base, Tower 23, on the Syrian border, Joe Biden said, "If you harm an American, we will respond." And Joe Biden's response and Tony Blinken's response is to throw Jose Andres under the bus and declare that this was an accident before the investigation has even taken place. Matthew Miller said, obviously, this was an accident. How do you know it was an accident? It was a deliberate triple tap strike. And Jose Andres is saying, this was deliberate. So not even Joe Biden's close allies can trust him. The only people that can trust Joe Biden that he will have their back is Benjamin Netanyahu and the Israeli military.
Here's Jose Andres giving his understanding of what happened. It's a profound, profound statement. This has got to be a significant breach between him and his buddy Blinken, but here's what he had to say. Number six, Chris.
What I know is that we were targeted deliberately, nonstop, until everybody was dead in this convoy. This happened over more than 1.5, 1.8 kilometers. So this was not just a bad luck situation where, oops, we dropped the bomb in the wrong place or no. This was over 1.5, 1.8 kilometers with a very defined humanitarian convoy that had signs in the top, in the roof. That cannot be the role of an army. That cannot be the role of an army that has hundreds of drones above Gaza in any single moment. The humanitarians and civilians should never be paying the consequences of war. This is a basic principle of humanity. At the time, this looks like it's not a war against terrorism anymore. Seems this is a war against humanity itself.
A war against humanity itself doesn't seem to be recognizing or resonating with the Biden administration. He supposedly had a conversation, a 30-minute testy conversation with Benjamin Netanyahu today. Did he stop sending the 2,000-pound bombs? Of course not.
No. Biden says he's outraged, but they will not stop sending the 2,000-pound baby buster bombs to Gaza. And just 2 points on Jose Andres's obviously heartfelt words. I think Jose Andres is starting to wake up to a reality he didn't understand. Indeed, what Israel's doing in Gaza is a war on humanity. But that's the war that Palestinians have been experiencing for over 75 years. Mm. It's the war on humanity that made October 7th inevitable and for many Palestinians necessary. And now Jose Andres, who naively believed that the Israeli military would allow him to deliver food to people that they were systematically starving and ethnically cleansing, now he realizes that even his own staff was not seen by Israel as fellow humans. So Jose Andres needs to display some dignity and resign his position as culinary ambassador at the State Department. Where are the resignations? Where's the concrete backlash against Biden? I'm not seeing it. And we also need to look at what Jose Andres was doing in Gaza. He clearly was being used for an insidious, ulterior agenda of the Biden administration and the Israeli military to remove UNRWA, the United Nations Relief Works Agency, from the north, replace them, and he was building a dock out of the rubble of Palestinian homes against the wishes of homeowners. Imagine if your home was destroyed, anyone watching this, your home was destroyed, and then a foreigner comes and takes the remains of your home and uses it to build a dock, supposedly to offload aid. But this dock was located right around the same corridor that Israel's building to section the north off from the rest of Gaza in order to ethnically cleanse the northern population, and the same area where Biden is planning his dubious and clearly disastrous army aid pier, which we should talk about here. So Jose Andres was being used all along, and Israel just pulled his card because they couldn't have any aid going in there. Everybody has to starve.
Hmm. Why do you think there's no outrage over this in the United States? I read Stephen Colbert made a tremendous statement, but there's no outrage here. Does the donor class, does AIPAC approve of this slaughter?
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Well, of course AIPAC does. I mean, AIPAC is part of the cult of inhumanity that is centered in Tel Aviv. But when we look at the U.S. political establishment 5 months ago, they were all collectively bear-hugging Israel and Netanyahu. And now, you know, I watch on MSNBC, her name isn't coming to me. She was the former chief of staff to Condoleezza Rice, when Condi Rice was the head of Bush's NSC, and she was demanding that Biden stop issuing leaking fake outrage statements and actually start suspending aid to Israel. This is remarkable. Morning Joe today, Joe Scarborough, one of the biggest cheerleaders for Israel's genocide, lit into an Israeli minister. Of course, he was doing so on behalf of the Biden administration. He wasn't really interrogating the real crimes of this war. But you can actually see a backlash within the establishment, which is building. And Biden isn't able to answer it because he's running for re-election and he wants the money from top donors like Chaim Saban, the Hollywood mogul who said, I'm a one-issue guy and my issue is Israel. That's really what this is about.
And nobody cares that one of Jose Andres's people was an American and a veteran.
Jacob Flickinger. This is a figure who should inspire the anger and indignation of every U.S. service member, especially the active duty U.S. service members who are stationed abroad. Three of them have already been killed in retaliation to U.S. backing for Israel's genocide at a secret base in Syria, and more will be killed. It is so clear to me that U.S. service members are in danger because of the Biden administration's fealty to Israel's impotence and refusal to deter Israeli aggression. If they're not going to set a red line over Israel's deliberate killing of Jacob Flickinger, then what's going to happen to the Americans who are going to be in and around Gaza for this weird army aid pier project? Now, eight experts, including former Marine Corps high-ranking officers, have gone to the Washington Post, to their military reporter, Dan LaMoth, and said, American lives are in danger with this Gaza aid port. But they think they're in danger because Hamas or another faction will attack them. And it's possible. I mean, why wouldn't Hamas want to do that given the American role in this catastrophic assault on Gaza? But there's another scenario I could see playing out, a perfect opportunity for Israel through its Shin Bet or the Israeli military intelligence to lay an IED down, use a collaborator faction in Gaza to stage a false flag attack on U.S. troops, then blame it on Iran, because as we can clearly see, they are trying to drag the U.S. into a regional conflagration with Iran. It's a perfect opportunity for Netanyahu, and every American diplomat in the Middle East, every serviceman right now is under threat, and they're being told, you must die for Israel.
All right, before we get to Iran, are there American troops on the ground, either in uniform or out of uniform, in Israel, helping the genocide?
There was a photograph published on October 10th by the Biden White House in an act of sheer diplomatic idiocy, showing Biden meeting with members of the Delta Forces, showing their faces inside Israel, and they were wearing their battle dress uniform. They were armed. What were they doing there? We still don't know. The Biden administration deleted those posts. They are not supposed to show the faces of those secret, those special forces members. And there are Americans operating within the Israeli military in Gaza who just happen to be Jewish. There are also American hostages in Gaza who are serving with the Israeli military, and the State Department is really keeping mum about them.
And what happens when those American service members are injured or killed? Will we not even know about that, Max?
We don't know. We don't know much about what's happening. What we do know through the Wall Street Journal is that the CIA and the NSA are involved in unprecedented intelligence sharing with Israel. And this likely involves targeting, including targeting of what Israel deems high profile Hamas targets. But Israel deems everyone in Hamas a target, including a guy who's a plumber who happens to work for, I don't know, the Ministry of Health or a doctor. You know, they have this targeting program called Lavender, which is an AI targeting program which generates more targets than are possible to strike. According to the Israeli 972 magazine, it generated on October 8th, 36,000 targets in Gaza. And as a part of that program, they have an aspect called Where's Daddy, which locates anyone they want to kill in their home at night and kills them with their entire families, which is why we see so many families being wiped from the civil record. Now, the question is, number one, is U.S. intelligence assisting with a program or targeting like this and making itself deeply, deeply invested in this genocide? And number two, who's providing the server to that program? Only Amazon has the cloud space. I mean, Amazon is one of the few servers or server providers that has the cloud space for a program like that. That's why it's providing the cloud to the Pentagon and has competed for contracts with the CIA. So we don't even know how deep America is involved in this genocide, but we're going to find out.
The Israeli attack on and destruction of the consulate adjacent to the embassy of Iran, sovereign real estate, sovereign territory of Iran, though located in Damascus, Syria, obviously was coordinated by American intelligence because they killed the people they wanted to kill, including two generals. The death toll is up to 54 at the last number that I got last night. What does Israel hope to prove with this?
Well, you would think that they would be trying to deter Iranian attacks, but that is clearly not the point. The point is to escalate. It's to force Iran out of its strategy that of carefully balancing confrontation with caution so as not to escalate, because Iran is simply weaker than Israel, which is an extension of the U.S. And Iran would be destroyed in a war with the U.S. and Israel. Remember, in October, the U.S. sent the USS Eisenhower and this entire naval convoy to the Mediterranean to send a message to Iran that we will join Israel's war against you if you get involved and start launching ballistic missiles on Israeli targets. So I expect to see in the next 48 to 72 hours, tomorrow is Quds Day in Tehran. That's the major day in Iran of solidarity with the Palestinian cause. I expect to see in this time frame some kind of Iranian response, but it will be a response likely calculated not to give in to what Israel wants. And Netanyahu's dream is this massive escalation that will force the U.S. to carry out Israel's agenda. And it's not a U.S. agenda. So that's why they did this. What they've done is, to take credit for it, to do something this brazen without even notifying the U.S. Department of Defense, is almost unprecedented. Now, we know the U.S. struck the Chinese embassy in Belgrade during its the NATO's destruction of Yugoslavia. But the U.S. tried to deny any responsibility, claimed that wasn't deliberate. Israel's accepting responsibility. They want everyone to know that they violated Iran's sovereign diplomatic territory. And what's happened here is the U.S. has come out at the U.N. as the only nation at the U.N. and defended what Israel did. And so you have U.S. diplomats all across the Middle East many of them who don't agree with Biden's policy on Israel, every single one of them is a target right now. Biden has put a target on the backs of American diplomats and American service members with this flamboyant defense of Israeli criminality and aggression. And they've just shredded the post-World War II international order where attacking another nation's embassy is supposed to be off the table.
Well, the Israelis don't care about rules or international law. They make them up as they go along.
Yeah.
Is the Israeli lobby or the donor class, whatever you want to call it, still wedded to Netanyahu, or will his personal unpopularity cause them to dump him in favor of Benny Gantz or somebody else?
Well, sure. AIPAC will stand by anyone. I mean, their policy is to support any Israeli government, whatever the Israeli government's policy is. And right now they're doling out hundreds of thousands of dollars to defeat Jamal Bowman in New York. They're actually targeting this cop whose name I forget right now, who's running in a suburban DC district right here close by in Maryland, who emerged as one of the media concocted heroes of January 6th, who's not even speaking out against Israel, who's identified himself as pro-Israel simply because he's not pro-Israel enough. They're targeting Brad Hostetler in Indiana, Republican, for the first time. This is the first time I've seen them really unload the clip on a Republican. So AIPAC's going crazy to get its way in Congress, and they're obviously holding a gun to Biden's head, not that he would do anything differently, over his Israel policy, which is why he has no red lines. Something remarkable did happen iftar just took place at the end of Ramadan.
Right.
And none of the Muslim leadership showed up. Biden did hold a private meeting with some Muslim civil society leaders, and one of them attempted to show him photographs of dead children in Gaza and starving children. And Biden simply dismissed that photograph and said, "Hey, I've seen those before, and I can't even know if it's real because it's on your cell phone. Maybe you made it up." I think this was reported in Politico. Remember that Biden claimed to have seen photos of beheaded Jewish Israeli babies killed by Hamas after October 7th, and he completely made that up. So this is the person that we're dealing with here. He's someone who is not forming new thoughts, who's in a state of mental and psychological decay, and who spent his career catering to AIPAC. So there's not going to be any change as long as Biden is there.
Let me switch gears for a moment to Ukraine. The EU is offering to lend to Ukraine 100 billion euros, which would be paid to Ukraine over the next 4 years, and then eventually Ukraine would pay it back with interest. The Ukrainian foreign minister is saying, oh, we shouldn't pay interest, and by the way, we shouldn't have to pay it back. Of course, then it's not a loan. At the same time, the Christian nationalist, who is the Speaker of the House of Representatives, is Mike Johnson, is negotiating all sorts of deals, some of which involve natural gas in Louisiana, where he is from, to spring loose enough votes in the House to get the $61 billion that the Senate adopted in the pipeline. As I understand that $61 billion, about $40 billion of it stays right here and goes right to the American arms manufacturers. This is a long question. The short version of it is, what good will this money do Ukraine other than, postponing slightly the inevitable demise of Ukraine as a country?
Yeah, I mean, what good have any of the NATO weapons done for Ukraine? We heard all the neocons back last fall say, oh, we need to get more NATO weapons to them for the counteroffensive. And, you know, they keep coming. And what we see is Bradley Strikers that are repurposed from the Gulf War and German Leopard tanks getting roasted. And the fact is, the U.S. does not have the ability to produce enough munitions to supply Ukraine and Israel at the same time. Russia is producing four times the amount of munitions the U.S. is producing overall. They need the howitzer shells. They need the tank shells, and they're just not going to be able to do it, no matter what. So what we're looking at here is what we said this was from the beginning, money laundering. And Victoria Nuland, the coup czar, who was Assistant Secretary of State before she retired and went to Columbia SIPA, the School of International and the School of International Studies with Hillary Clinton now, said right in before she left in her last speech that aid to Ukraine is good for America because it's creating American jobs. Joe Biden said, I believe in his State of the Union, that the U.S. is the arsenal of democracy and is producing jobs in Pennsylvania through Ukraine aid. And Mike Johnson, the Republican speaker, well, he put up a phony fight over this $61 billion, but he's going to give in. Right. And I know through sources that his staff is up in arms about this. The Republican base is up in arms about this. But Mike Johnson isn't representing them. Mike Johnson is just another part of the duopoly who happens to have some kind of Christian right credentials. So what we're going to witness is just more money taken from the U.S. taxpayer, the hardworking U.S. taxpayer can't afford groceries, sent cycled through Ukraine as its front lines collapse. This is being reported in every major U.S. paper today, but the front lines are collapsing, where Zelensky is now lowering the draft age from 27 to 25. Fight to the last Ukrainian under instructions from Lindsey Graham. And the money's going to come right back to the big five, Lockheed Martin, BAE Systems, Raytheon, et cetera, along with all the Beltway bandits. And they're going to laugh all the way to the bank while an entire generation of Ukrainian men is reduced to amputees or dead.
Here's a comment yesterday from Deputy Secretary of State Kurt Campbell. He has the job that Nuland wanted that she didn't get.
Right.
Saying Russia, effectively, Russia's military is stronger today than before the war started. What's
Russia
that?
Has almost completely reconstituted militarily. And after the initial setbacks on the battlefield delivered to them by a brave and hardy group in Ukraine, with the support of China, in particular, dual use capabilities, a variety of other efforts, industrial and commercial, Russia has retooled and now poses a threat to Ukraine as we are struggling to get the supplemental. But not just to Ukraine, it's newfound capabilities, pose a longer-term challenge to stability in Europe and you know, threatens NATO allies.
Now he's articulating the party line because he wants Mike Johnson to get that $61 billion across the finish line. But it's interesting that he said the military is completely reconstituted and stronger now than it was before the war started.
Just like the Russian economy.
Yeah, the Russian economy is significantly stronger, and they've demonstrated they can do it without the West. Of course, Britain wants to steal $300 billion that's in American and British banks from, I don't know if it's the Russian government or Russian businesses, but whoever it is, they want to steal it, confiscate it, and give it to Ukraine. I don't know how far that's going to go. There'd be very serious due process issues with that. Who knows if a judge would intervene? How much longer can Ukraine last? Whether the $61 billion is passed, whether they accept this crazy, insane $100 billion euro loan or not?
Well, that's the $61 billion question. I mean, what Russia's demonstrated here is that it can break the rules-based order that the Biden administration has put forward as its model for American imperium, American hegemony. And the rules-based order is based on sanctions, that the U.S. can make the rules, and if you don't follow the orders, they will bring your economy to shambles, which is what they did to Venezuela when the Bank of England stole something like $30 billion in Venezuelan gold. This was sort of a model for what they're trying to do to Russia. But Russia has enormous domestic production capacity. They're highly technologically sophisticated. Through their partnership with China, they're able to replace some imports from the West, and they are the breadbasket of Europe, This is not a country that's a gas station, as John McCain said. It shows how much American hubris has blown up in its face. The American sanctions regime has been completely broken. Kurt Campbell is reading the writing on the wall, and Kurt Campbell was placed there because he is a China specialist. He's a China hawk. Victoria Nuland was the one obsessed with Ukraine and bringing down Russia. And so what we're witnessing, just with Kurt Campbell's sheer physical presence there as Assistant Secretary of State, is another pivot to Asia after this war is declared a defeat. What will defeat mean, Judge? It could mean a rump state in Western Ukraine, the hyper-nationalistic rump state in Western Ukraine with a Nazi-like government after Zelensky's dragged out kicking and screaming, maybe sent back to Miami to be some kind of pseudo-celebrity in the U.S. We don't know what it will look like, but defeat is clearly on the horizon. And I hear Kurt Campbell kind of throwing in the towel.
Wow. Max Blumenthal, a pleasure, my dear friend. Your insight is second to none. Thank you very much. No matter where you come from, those crazies in that cafe, none of them bothered you.
No, I don't see any AIPAC lobbyists here. They're nice people.
Thank you, my dear friend. I hope we'll see you again next week.
Thanks a lot, Judge.
Of course. Wow, another gifted interviewee. Be sure to hit the thumbs up, subscribe, and like, and visit us on judgenap.com. Got everything I've written there, as well as lots of information you'll find very helpful. Tomorrow afternoon, Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson at 3:15 Eastern, and at 4 o'clock Eastern, everybody's favorite time of the week, The Boys, the Intelligence Community Roundtable with Ray McGovern and Larry Johnson. Thank you, my dear friends. Judge Napolitano for Judging Freedom.